Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
My name is Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host of Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. And today we've got a great panel of guests. Thanks to Josh, Ian, and AJ at the Well for putting this together. And it's being recorded, so Heritage Radio Network is out of Bushwick, one more stop out on the Morgan stop. And we'll have to edit this one a little bit, and we'll air it in about 2 or 3 weeks. But right now, let's just do this more live panel style. So, and everybody, it's like, you got to talk like this, right, everybody? It's like my sweet microphone, you know? Let's just get down to the end. A lot of these guys I know well. They've been on a lot of Beer Sessions radios. Some of them I met as homebrewers or brewers at other breweries, and now they're all kind of stars of the scene, and we've got some new friends here from Chicago. So let's just go down and start with Tony. Just say your name and a few words about your brewery and the collaboration beers that are here today.
I'm Tony from Kings County Brewers Collective. My partner's Pete and Zach aren't here today, or were here earlier. We have a couple collaborations here tonight. The Taco Wednesday we did with Innerborough here, and Yeah Buddy that we brewed with Finback.
That's what I'm drinking. Who's drinking the Taco Wednesday? Oh yeah,
yeah,
me too.
Get at that.
I got one of those chairs. Jesse had a hard time getting a chair, but my chair is going to fall under
I got
me.
A stool.
Just
I got
so
a
you know,
stool.
There's tension in the room, so.
I'm Jesse Ferguson from Innerborough, and I brew. We got three collaborations. This is going to become a funny chain, right? If I have to name the one that. So I got the beer I brew with Tony and Pete and Zach, Taco Wednesday, and then I have Super Local, which I brewed with Indian Ladder Farmstead, with all New York State grown raw materials, and then I have the Stay Gold. Which is brewed in collaboration or inspired by Run the Jewels.
Got some fans. Who knows Run the Jewels?
Yeah, RT.
What is it, Jesse? Run the Jewels. I don't know what that is.
It's a shit, man. It's a shit.
If you got to explain it, you don't know. You don't need to know.
We'll come back to that. Peter, yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm Peter Salmon. I'm with Other Half. And we got two collaborations here today. We did a...
Closer. Is it not on?
You got to get into that mic.
You really got to get. You got to like
go
this.
Deep. Go deep, Peter.
There you go.
It's a sex. You got to get sexy with it, Peter.
Take with my beard.
No, I still don't think it's on. It's still not on.
It's still not on.
Why don't you use mine?
Hook him up.
There.
Great idea, Joe.
That sounded like a.
Actually on?
No.
Well, while Peter's talking, I'll tell you, Peter won, separate from working at Other Half, Peter won the homebrewer of the year at the with Oscar and his other buddies. So, you know, there's a lot of little secrets and real, like, brewers with chops on this table. So,
All right, so I'm borrowing Joe's microphone. I'm Peter Salmon from Other Half Brewing Company. We have two collaborations here today. We did Throw Some Mo with Barrier. We did a collaboration with them last year. We did a mashup of their Money IPA and our hop showers. We did a Make It Rain. And so this year we did a double dry hopped Imperial version of that and did throw some Mo. Tasting really, really good. And then we also have a collaboration that we did with Industrial Arts. Those guys came down a couple weeks ago and we brewed Nummy Nug Nug with them. While Chief was still up at his last job, we brewed Nuggy Num Num with them up there. That was like our first beer that we brewed to be released kind of right as we were opening up. So he came down and we brewed another beer with him and kind of mashed up the name a little bit. But really nice, juicy, you know, double IPA.
Peter, will you say the name of that beer again?
No.
Who wants to drink that beer? I want to try it.
Nuggy Num Num.
Nuggy Num Num.
It's really nummy.
It's okay. You guys can yell out and all that stuff. So we're going to have fun today. So let's make a toast anyways. Cheers to New York City Beer Week, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Woo!
Yeah. And our good buddy, everybody's favorite, soon-to-be-open real brewery, Grimm, is here, man. I mean, who loves Grimm? Yeah. Come on, Joe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Grimm. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the tab list tonight because I just handed a beer. It was great. But if they have any of our collabs, they might have Field Rotation, which is a collaboration that we did with Blue Hill, that was sort of like based around the idea of doing a complete crop rotation in a glass. Or they might have the Fantome collab or something that we do with Kent Falls, something like that. Next is Kate.
But who likes Grimm? Come on. Everybody loves Grimm. All right.
All right. Hello. I'm Kate with Pipeworks Brewing in Chicago, Illinois. Yep, we're very excited to be here. As far as collaborations go, right now we have one on. It's actually a collaboration with a restaurant, Longman and Eagle. It's kind of based off of a Manhattan cocktail, so super rye-heavy malt base with cherries and lemon, and then we use bitter roots to bitter it, almost like a cocktail bitters instead of hops. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
I'm Mike from Pipeworks, so we have the same beer on.
Yeah!
we also have a beer called the Hyperdog, which is a kind of a collaboration with a coffee company out in Chicago, Dark Matter. So we work with them on trying to find different ways to add coffee flavors that aren't kind of atypical or more intense, less intense.
Mike, is your dad here?
My dad is standing right
there.
Gotta
put your hand up, Mr.
Doug
Mike.
Doug Chalow in the house.
This is a fun party, guys. Come on, again. Yeah. Is anybody else, anybody's wife or somebody here?
I wish my wife.
No. That's right. My dad loves me.
Now, the funnest part of these kind of events is first, you got guys like Josh that are, you know, influencers, but who comes to the well on a regular basis?
Yeah.
This is a great place. Yeah. I love it. And what's great about this place is so many beers I've tried. The first time I had KCBC, not the Kolsch, but what's the one that came after the Kolsch, the Pilsner? The Janiac Maniac.
Yeah.
That I can never pronounce.
Yeah.
I tried that here with AJ one time, and this is a real place to find new beers, and you guys are doing a great job. So let's go down the line. So, guys, collaboration beer. Like, what beer is the first one we have, Josh? What is it? Do you know? It's a KCBC something.
What are we doing right now, right?
Yeah, we got Taco Wednesday. What was the question? I wasn't listening.
What beer are we drinking? The first beer? That's my first question.
Oh, the first beer.
Does anybody know? It's KCBZ something.
Yeah, that's Taco Wednesday. We brewed this with Jesse. Yeah, it's dry hopped lager, dry hopped with Hugh Mellon. We're brewing it on a Wednesday, and we ate tacos for lunch, and we really just came up with this stupidly obvious name.
They've got a really, really awesome taqueria, what, two blocks away?
Yeah. I mean, Bushwick is king of tacos, so, yeah, you know.
Arepa Thursday?
Arepa Thursday. Yeah, all of our beers are just going to become Mexican food-themed.
Burrito Friday.
So Tony and Jess, so you guys, tell us about the process of collaboration with beer, because, you know, it could be like too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, what do you have, like, roles and other rules you guys did with this beer?
Well, as the guest brewer, I guess, in the situation, I sort of said, you know, you talk about what you want to brew, right? And say, we're going to make, well, what should we do? But you sort of, it's whoever's brewing the beer generally is responsible for selling and distributing the beer, so in my mind, it's always deferring to the host brewery is in terms of sort of guiding based on what they need in their portfolio and what they want to be able to sell. And I mean, I think we
decided on lager pretty quick. We're brewing lagers, and
they had a yeast strain that had been going pretty well for them.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I think that was pretty easy.
And it was pretty quick.
You throw around ingredient ideas, and, you know,
it's all very practical. It's not sexy at all. It's like, what can you get? Oh, we use these guys. Oh, we can get this from them. Okay, cool. We'll use that too. And, you know, it's
probably not quite as cool as like a band collaborating on something where you're like, you know,
we were in the studio for like 12 hours and it was fucking sick.
We had this flow and we're just, oh, it's genius. Yeah, it's a little more practical. And then the brewing, you know, again, the brewing is just like, it's actually really, it's fun because it's the one time in a brewer's life when you sort of just allow yourself to hang out for a day and drink
beer. That's the only time you?
Is it a tax write-off, too?
Fuck no. The only tax you write off is the writing of the check you send to the state and the federal government for brewing it. I wish it was.
We both opened within what, 30 days of each other?
Yeah, and that kind of sparked it. We're each other's closest neighboring breweries, and we're like, two or three weeks of each other.
Yeah,
so.
it seemed pretty obvious that we should work together and make a beer and cross market, right? Like sort of. They have an ability, like people come into my brewery, which is four blocks away, and I say, they're like, oh, this is so great, I didn't know you were here, or I've been meaning to come here for months, or whatever they say, and I'm like, well, did you know there's another brewery that's like 10 minutes away, you can walk there, and they make really great beer too, and so I expect that you guys are doing the same.
We do exactly the same.
And so then it's like...
Grim, when you open, we'll do the same for you.
And we're already telling people that you're going to be two blocks away, too. And it's just, you know, it's part of the community and that people who like beer, most people in 2017 who like beer it's not like you're a Bud guy and you're like, I just drink Bud. You know? it's most people are interested in tasting other beers. And so...
Well, you know, like in New York City, it's almost like you guys are collaborating from the beginning. It's supposed to be a collaboration theme. That's where we're going. But, you know, but like guys like, you know, it's like you all worked together at some point. Some of you worked at Greenpoint Beer Works. Some of you worked at Brooklyn Brewery, like Peter.
Yeah.
You know, some of you...
The three of us all worked at Greenpoint.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's easy for you to collaborate. But like guys like Joe, I mean, you know, you've been brewing in, what, Virginia and other states. What is it like for you? You know, since you don't have your brewery quite yet here, tell us some of the collaborating experiences. A good one, one of your top collaboration experiences.
Well, everything that Lauren and I do at Grimm is always a collaboration in a sense. Since we've never owned our own space, we're always coming into someone else's space, and we have to talk through the process with them. We have to sell them on our idea and its feasibility. Some of the time, we'll want to do things that are not part of their normal process or that they're not comfortable with, and we have to have a conversation going forward from there. So it's like, you know, really it's just like a process of negotiating with whoever is hosting. And so we've had different dynamics in all the different places that we've made beer, whether it's Flagship on Staten Island or Beltway down in Virginia, or we've... way back when we were making a lot of beer at Paper City in Mass. So, I think that's just actually that's our normal process.
So, Joe, when you first started, we're going to open this up. When you first started, you know, what were some of the beers that inspired you? I haven't talked to you that much, so.
Yeah, I started making beer maybe in like 19, no. No, like 2005, and at that time, I didn't really think beer was very good. I hadn't had really any good beer, and I was into doing other kinds of fermentation projects. So I was making more like prison hooch. It was like just like any kind of fruit, mix it up with some honey.
Wait, prison wine? You said?
Basically, I was just making fermented.
You were a prison wife. That's why he has a bald head, you know. So. That's bad. Sorry, guys.
Anyway. Yeah, so
it's a live panel, guys. Come on.
What convinced me that beer was good actually was when I was on a music tour. I was traveling in Belgium and just got turned on to some amazing stuff. Started to taste lambic, and I was like, whoa, this is what I like. Things that had like some fermentation character, because we came into beer from being fermentationists, not the other way around. So one of our most memorable collaboration experiences was when we got to work with one of the guys who made some of the beers that inspired us to get interested in beer as like an art in the first place. Danny from Fantôme, a really tiny farmhouse brewery in Belgium, just a cobbled together old system, and just trying to work with a guy who didn't really speak English. We didn't really speak French, and doing a lot of pointing and like thumbs upping and thumbs downing and figuring out a beer together was amazing.
Cheers to Fantôme, man. That's awesome. So, Joe, what beer did you make with Danny from Fantôme? I mean, does anyone know who's that Fantôme?
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I've seen pictures of him, too. He's kind of like skinny and like he looks Belgian.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Have you worked with him, Peter?
No. I'm just wondering what looking Belgian means.
Holding some sort of coup.
You know it when you see it.
Fair enough.
Well, he doesn't go to the gym, you know. Americans versus Belgians. But tell us about the beer that you made with Fantôme. That's because I know these guys also have made beer with Destroos in Belgium. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he referred to it as a special beer.
Joe, do you
think
that
was the style? It was called a special beer.
Do you think the Belgian guys like American beer, or do they still think their beer is better?
Well, Danny doesn't really like any beer. The only thing he drinks really is Westmalle Triple. That's just his thing. And people bring, like, homebrewers from all over the world. They make pilgrimages to his brewery. They bring their stuff. They bring like the brews that they're excited about, and he's just sort of puts it in a fridge. So while we were there, we opened up like 30 bottles and had like one sip of each, and we were like, he would be like, look, and just sort of make a face, and we'd pour it out and try the next one. He didn't like any of them.
And so, Kay, so you guys have actually collaborated with Destroos.
Yeah, that was in the very, very beginning of Pipeworks, so about 2012. Mike and I, before that, yeah, that was 2009 or so. And that was not necessarily Mike and I that did that from Pipeworks, but it's kind of been the foundation of our brewery a little bit.
To the two founders, BJ and Garrett, interned at Destroos before they opened the brewery. So they get to Belgium, and they met Urbane through, they worked at a liquor store called Westlake View Liquors, and she'd been, Christina, who owns it, had been selling the entire Sheldon Brothers book for years before it was cool. And so they get there, and Urbane is like, so what's your brewery called? And they're like, I don't know, why? He's like, well, we're doing a collaboration on like Thursday. It's like, oh, I guess we should come up with a name then. And so they just kind of popped out Pipeworks, and they brewed a few beers over there.
So what are you guys doing in New York City for Beer Week?
We're doing a couple collaborations while we're here. So on Tuesday, we're collaborating with Jesse. We're making a beer called Mad Fat Unicorn. It's kind of a mashup of his Mad Fat Fluid and our Ninja versus Unicorn. And then on Wednesday, we're brewing with Folk's Beer. We're making a
Malort-inspired
Belgian triple. Has anyone ever had Malort?
Is that... Oh my gosh. It's awful.
Tell us.
It's really bad.
It's Chicago's curse on the world. It's like a wormwood bitter liqueur.
It's a bit of a litmus test, you know? It's kind of like when you really like someone, you got to punish them a little.
Every country that doesn't have a good food culture makes a really bad bitter. Sorry, so Chicago.
It's just Chicago.
Are you calling Chicago a country?
Yeah, kind of now.
You know, the country's breaking up, you know, but...
Got some issues.
Oh, yeah. All right. So who's that Interboro Mad Fat Fluid? I love that. Who's that Grimm's Double Negative?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Jesse, you're gonna tell us now that we're getting on something. You're gonna be brewing this week with these guys. So again, let's go back to roles.
I got this one all rehearsed because we're doing a panel about collaborations. So I thought about this, and Ian from The Well. I was bartending one night at my brewery, which is four blocks away. I'll mention again. And he texts me and says, are you at the brewery? And of course. All right, cool. I'm sending somebody over. And Mike walks in, and I walk him through every beer on the we had on draft. And then he had an event was happening at Terst where you were pouring what? Like mostly barrel stuff, right?
Yeah, it was two barrel-aged beers and then some core stuff and... But the barrel-aged beers are the highlight.
So I asked my wife to watch my two kids for a couple hours so I could go drink really high-alcohol beer in the middle of the afternoon. And I met my parents.
Yeah, my mom.
That was awesome.
Mr. Mike.
He talked to my mom about kindergarten, I think,
that's
about
right.
35
minutes.
Yeah,
we were talking about childcare and all that. And your mom's a teacher, right?
She teaches kindergarten. Yeah. It's a full package with Pipeworks.
And then Beer Week's started to get talked about, and so I hit Mike up. Well, I sent you, and I sent you Matt. After that, we canned Matt Fat Fluid for the first time, and yeah. I sent Mike a box of Matt Fat Fluid,
yep.
or a four-pack in a box.
Yep.
And I was like, are you guys planning on coming out here? And
I was four Mad Fat Fluids deep, and I'm like, we are now.
Yeah. And so then I asked him if you want to come brew, and, you know, so Ian is responsible for all of this. So next time Ian pours you a beer, yeah. you can be like,
yeah.
thank you.
And then, Ian, you have to tell us what beers we have, because I'm getting confused. But I think the second beer we're drinking, I wish you guys could drink it too, but you should. I think the second beer is the Other Half Industrial Arts Nummy Nug Nug. Is this the Nummy Nug Nug, Peter?
It's good. Whatever. It's
yes.
very good.
I would say, right now, whatever, it's New England style. You know,
smells
what
like clementine.
What is it that's sexy about styles? Why is everyone so into that New England style? Because this is like hoppy and like, you know. Tell us about this one, Peter, because this is the one. I hate to say it, guys. I'm going to keep drinking the Nummy Nug Nug.
Nummy Nug Nug?
Which one is this?
How'd you name it?
Well, because it was the other one was Nuggy Num Num, and this one's Nummy Nug Nug.
God.
What's the story?
It's such a good name.
Yeah,
I don't even know where they came up with the name on the first one. And
wasn't it from Atonum and Nugget?
It might have been.
That's what I thought.
I don't know. It was before
or
I was
Magnum.
There.
So.
That would have made sense. Could have been like a logical.
That's usually how stuff is. Like, let's name it after like a hip-hop reference or a hop. And it's pretty much one of those.
Oh, you mean like
yes.
Double Mosaic?
Okay, we're being really creative here.
Innovators.
There's twice as much.
double the amount. So we pretty much just took the same beer and, you know, retweaked it a little bit, but then just named it the same thing but opposite. So, yeah, it was not really creative on that part.
Oh, Peter,
Nummy Nug Nug. Everyone say Nummy Nug Nug.
No.
See, you guys did it better than I did.
Yeah.
How's Other Half so good at can release?
How are you guys so good?
It's easy. We sit there and people line up and then we take their money. And we give them beer.
All right. You know, we're going to move to questions because you got questions, you write them down, I'll ask them. Newly converted beer need. To someone, your beers are so great. It has ruined me for commercial beers and so-called craft beers stocked at my local bodega. Why can't I find you in more somethings? Are quality and mass availability mutually exclusive? So this is a great question. Like, craft beer, I'm going to go to a good bodega. I'm happy to find IPAs and things. But now, I guess everybody wants to have these guys' beers and especially, like, these limited collaborations. So who wants to talk about, like, kind of the state of how can I get your beers retail without – I don't want to wait in line an hour at a brewery. Now, how can I get your beers retail and what's going on?
That's
that?
Hard. I mean
– You stay here. It's good.
I'm ready.
We know.
It's hard. I mean, you're talking about Other Half, and you know, you wait around, you know, for a good chunk of a day to get beer. And all of us are making beer at pretty small levels. I mean, compared to what major breweries are doing, we're on a 15 barrel brew house. We have 30 barrel fermenters. You know, so we've done a couple of canning runs now, and. You know, our first canning run, we canned 15 barrels of beer. You know, it's 150 cases. Our second one, we did 30 barrels of beer. It was 300 cases. It's nothing compared to what you see on a normal beer distributor's beer truck. You know, so this last one, we did a split of selling some out of the tap room and some to retail, so people could get it. But we're literally like bringing a case or two to retailers. Like I'm not dropping it by the truck full. So I don't know. Get in good with your local beer shop or your local brewery, and you know, I mean, the more you buy local, the more we can all keep making more of it. Sort of the answer.
That's a great point. And also for you guys, who buys more beer, like cans directly from a brewery or from a beer shop, versus going to a bar and getting draft? Who goes to a bar and only drinks on draft? Me. Some of us. Jimmy's 43,
no,
somewhere
well,
in East Village.
Well.
Who mostly buys who bought either cans or bottles more to go? So it's a split. You guys, come here. Tell me your name. Come here, this guy.
Who brews their own beer and drinks
it
themselves?
Hi, Ryan. You know, just out of question, who's been to Belgium off the line of brewers right now?
Thank you, Ryan. All right.
Let's go over your travels here a little bit.
Sure.
Travels? No, I've not like gone to Belgium. I'm a massive American beer drinker. I drink U.S. beers. I mean, I love Belgian beers. That was not my entry to craft beer. My entry to craft beer was like, I'm from Minneapolis originally. It was James Page and Summit. You know, it was like local craft beer, like old school 90s, you know, breweries that were killer. And
Ryan, talk to the mic. Come here, buddy.
I love American beer, and I just want to tell like.
Yeah, no, and yeah, so that
an experience from America. So let's hear it.
Yeah, so that
I grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I was drinking Odell and New Belgium. My funny story is that my buddy's older brother, we used to send him in to get us old English and Mickey's 40s, and he'd come out with 22s of Fat Tire and Sunshine Wheat and say, drink this, it's better. And that was when I was 14.
Good job, Ryan. Thank you. Go out, buddy. But thank you. Everybody, Ryan, thank you. All right. Don't worry. There's lots of questions. Okay. So, all right, more questions. Let's just start doing them all. So, and I love this place. I'm on the front lines. My chair busted. I love it. Someone else. Her name is Dunu. As a bartender who has experimented. They say that millennials don't know how to write. I don't know. As a bartender who has experimented with marijuana oil in cocktails, have any of you guys brewed it with your beers as an experiment? That's a pretty interesting thing.
No, but I'm ready. Get it.
That was
you.
All right. So have you ever experimented? I mean, you can't legally, but with the future coming, would you ever experiment with marijuana oils? All right.
It's totally not going on the internet.
Yeah, it's totally not going anywhere near.
Tony, just pass me that milk.
Hey, I'm all about that. If the state SLA wants to let us do that, I don't know. I could probably convince my partners to get at that.
But going back to Joe, let's go. That's a great question. These guys really can't talk about it because, especially with the new administration, there may be some backlash on the marijuana stuff.
I mean, if it's ever a legal ingredient, I mean, we're all about experimenting with flavors and finding new ways. Hops are really not that far of a branch away from weed, but I mean, that's not something we're planning on, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we've used hemp seeds, but there's nothing.
That was actually a brewer. That
them.
Was a collaboration as well with Freigeist, Sebastian from Germany. So he came and brewed with us and was like, "We gotta make the long hair affair." And so we used hemp seed in that one.
Yeah, I mean, we always kind of have a thing where, as long as like physics and the law will allow it, we'll probably give it a try. Yeah. But
whatever we can use, we'll
right
use.
Right now, the law doesn't really allow that one. So. Yeah.
All right, here's one from Danny. Market. Who's Danny? Let's do it. Danny has good penmanship. Thank you, Danny. Is anyone named Danny here? No, Danny. Danny said, "What are you drinking right now?" That's a good one from
we
Peter.
Don't know.
I have to say that, like, what I love about this, in their room, there are some of the top brewers that I've ever met in the world. So, Peter, home brewer of the year.
That was yours.
What are you drinking besides the other half?
Oh, well, I mean, currently I'm drinking the Nummy Nug Nug.
What was that?
Otherwise, I drink a lot of beer at work. Work a lot of hours. Any of the brewers up here know that you're going to work 50, 60 hours a week, so you're going to drink a lot of beers at your work. And then once you get out of work, it's kind of whatever you have lying around. I'm sure we all have pretty deep cellars of stuff that we look at more than we drink. I like a lot of Belgian styles, especially sours, lambics, gooses, and then just other IPAs. It's really nice to drink stuff similar to the stuff that you made, but does not taste like your beer. It's really kind of refreshing to not drink your beer because your beer reminds you of work and you already spend enough time there.
Kate, you've got some cool stuff too.
Well, We actually, because we're initially a self-distributing brewery, we had to kind of, we did everything in 22-ounce bottles, and for our market, that meant that we were basically making really high ABV beers. So we were pretty much not making anything below 8% for the first 4 years of our brewing careers.
That Ninja vs. Unicorn on ice is great in the summer.
Yeah, we drank a lot of our beers on ice for a long time to dilute it. But now we're able to put beers in cans, which is really nice, so we're able to drink some of our beers. But I completely agree that you don't really want to be drinking one of your beers at work all the time. For a long time, we drank a lot of PBR. We had struck up a deal. But it is so good to, like, try other things. And, I mean, it's excellent to try what other – how many variations on things like an IPA, a style that everybody's making. There's so much variation.
All right, next question. This is going to be for Joe first and then Jesse. I don't know who it's from, but what's the weirdest ingredient you ever added to a beer recipe? Everyone's there's these weird ingredients, but I think you should say something because I'm going to say something about it. So, Joe, you want to go first or Jesse?
Jesse, everything ready?
Yeah. Dehydrated ice cream.
That's weird.
Good answer.
That's
there's more questions.
You know, the TTB doesn't let you put that in beer.
But Ryan's so. Banned. Where's Ryan? Ryan's banned. Where is he? Sorry.
I don't know. I got nothing.
That's okay. Next one from Danny. Does Danny work for Serene? Who's
no.
Danny? Somebody. All right. So Danny says, when was the moment you realized that you could leave your normal 9-to-5 and pursue brewing full time? How about you, Tony?
My wife kicks ass, and it was the moment she was like, stop talking about this and do it. I mean, it was literally like, you know, we had an idea. It was probably, you know, 2010 or something. I mean, I knew I wanted to brew professionally. I knew I wanted to open a brewery. My wife and I both knew we wanted to open a business at some point. We knew that for years. And she kind of got tired of hearing about all the stuff I wanted to do. And it was like, you need to go get into brewing school. And I had a job at one point that... the contract for the job was done, and she was like, don't look for another job. Go look for brewing jobs, and it scared the fuck out of me. Going from something that was, you know, paying really well to something that was going to start at $13 an hour. It was rad to have a spouse that, like, gave me, you know, she kind of gave me the balls to do that and just said, go do it, and haven't turned back.
All right, Tony.
Yeah. Shout out to Smita Vodakeklum. Yeah, she's not here.
Good question. Where'd you go to brewing school? Great
American
question.
Brewers Guild in Middlebury, Vermont.
Me too.
It's a fantastic program. It's a great program for people who are working either in the brewing industry or other jobs. You know, it's mostly distance learning, and then you go do some on-site stuff, and they have apprentice programs and all that kind of stuff. So, I tell when people talk about getting into the brewing industry, I say, you know, there's two sides to this world. It's an amazing apprentice trade. Learn as much, if not more, working with other people that were knowledgeable brewers. You know, Peter was one of the first guys I worked with, and other brewers I worked with. Like, you learn so much on the job from people. But for myself, just the way I learn, going to brewing school was just fundamental. Like, I have all these things in the back of my head that I don't always totally remember, but I know I should remember, and is at least this knowledge base of like, oh yeah, I think we talked about that one time. I should maybe go look that up. And I think those are some of the things that you don't have to go to brewing school for it. You can buy books and read it. But, you know, brewing on a larger scale, like most of us are doing, it can be scary business if you don't know what you're doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's more questions. Let's just go through them. So who's Kiara? Is Kiara here? Kiara wrote a couple questions. Kiara. So basically she's asking, and this is a good one for a few of you. Let's start with Pipeworks. You know, kind of how you came up with the name of your brewery, but also, like, especially with these collaborations, like, what is it, Peter? Nummy what?
Nug Nug.
Thank you, Nummy Nug Nug. How do you come up with the names of things in general? So start with Pipeworks.
Well, of things in general, the brewery. The brewery was like kind of popped out of nowhere for those guys. So BJ and Garrett named it while they were in Belgium in the car on the way to do their first brew with Nurbane. The names of our beers come from a million different places.
It's mostly jokes. Yeah, like if it jokes. Like makes us laugh.
It's jokes where no one told us not to put it on the label. It's just kind of like they.
We have some bad ones.
Kingston's Kitty Cat.
Give us a couple names. Say them all.
We have one called Just Drink It, Dummy. Kingston's Kitty Catina, named after our cat. The
One Horned Wonder and his Fanciful Flying Fresno.
Got some bad ones. Ninja vs. Unicorn.
I came up with all of these. They're all the bad ones. Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here. Just like full sentences as names or things. And no one just said, you can't put that on a label. So I was like, okay, yeah, sure, let's see what the government says. And they're like, yeah, whatever, pass it through.
They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
And Jesse, what's the favorite beer name you've made so far? Forget the beer. Mad Fat Fluid?
I think it's, yeah, Mad Fat Fluid, I think. That's
actually my favorite
when
beer.
When I rhyme, it's too. Halftime. Everything I do is rap-related, almost. But, yeah, Mad Fat Fluid is the one that rolls off the tongue the nicest, so.
There's some crazy questions. Someone asked, does God exist? And then someone also, getting back to the marijuana oil, someone
Brewers
wants to know.
Can't tell you that.
They're saying that, why does Yummy Nug Nug smell like sweet Chiba? So, you know, Huxley bomb, I love this.
Yeah, like,
this is why we don't let you guys talk on the mic. So, but, you know, this is really awesome. But, you know, everyone wants to know things like Joe Grimm. So Grimm, you know, you guys won big award, GABF. But you've been brewing at other breweries. But you guys are opening right down the street. Tell us your plans for your new brewery. Because everybody loves, and we want more beer. Come on, all I get to do, I get to sit here and drink beer. So, Ian, I need more beer.
It's gonna be great. It's I'm gonna cut you off. It's gonna be great. It's a few blocks away. It's actually on the same block as Jesse's place.
Which one is four blocks away. If I didn't
four blocks away, plus
Jesse
one.
Jesse will walk you over there afterwards.
It's going to be really cool. You know, we're going to put a lot of wood in there. We're going to be doing a lot of mixed fermentation beers.
Oh, are you?
It's going to get, you know, it'll be the first time that we get to totally control everything that happens in our space, and we're not answerable to anyone. So we're going to do a lot of unwise things. And do all the things that we wanted to do that we haven't had a chance to do yet.
When are you opening?
I can't.
They don't know yet.
Never give a date, ever.
When are you
do not ask a brewery planning.
Never tell
I've had a few
when.
Dates, but
soon.
Wait, you can
we're
yell.
No longer.
Come here, you have, if you yell at me, talk to the mic. Come here, we need you to record, so come on. Oh, yell it out, I'll tell you.
Blink once for 2017. Blink twice for 2018.
And Joe oh, didn't blink for the rest of the podcast.
Yo, if you go by there and like peek through the craft paper they got up on the windows, you can see they've already torn all the floors up. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, we're putting in the plumbing right now. We have trench drains.
Oh,
it's,
nice.
It's happening.
That's great.
I guess Joe and Jesse, I guess, why don't you guys go through the process of opening a brewery in New York? Because, you know.
Oh, yeah, you wanted to be here for another 3 hours?
I think so. I mean, who's in a rush?
On the tile.
Yeah. Just give us, tell us, Jesse and Joe, tell us.
You know, well, I have one thing that I think is really cool is that the law changed a couple years ago. It was right before Other Half opened up.
Right before, yeah.
Previously you were not allowed to sell anything out of the brewery. So
oh, no, you could sell growlers. Like, you could sell packaged to go, but you couldn't sell pints.
Right. So it just didn't look like it was going to be a good feasible thing to start up a tiny brewery because we weren't going to be able to sell beer by the glass. So part of why we opened up as a gypsy operation was because we were trying to make it work, you know? So we kind of got going down one road. And then the laws changed, and then it became possible for breweries to just, you know, also operate as a bar, which just totally changed what was feasible in a city like New York, which has high rent. So...
Yeah.
After that,
yeah.
That became a, you know, an option. Then we started putting plans together for our own space here in the city.
And then Peter, people want to know the future of craft brewing, especially in New York City. Anthony, where's Anthony? He asked a good question, but generally people want to know the future of craft beer. It's kind of about this, you know, the laws and how you can grow forward. You know, what are you guys doing in the other half? Are you guys expanding right now?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of expanding. We got the space next door, so we've been trying to put together a new, bigger tap room for the last year. And we're getting close, but don't ask me the date.
When's the date? 2000
and never.
It's going to be soon. Real soon. But yeah, I mean, so I mean, the goal is, you know, as much as you can sell directly to the customer, the better for everybody. You know, the customer gets better, fresher beer because they're not having to buy it warm on a shelf, and then you also get to buy it directly or sell it directly to the customer, so their money's going directly to you instead of going through a distributor or a store. So the way that, you know, money changes hands is a lot better for everybody. You know, they're getting better product, you're getting better profit. And so the more that you can actually do that, and, you know, the same thing, we have a tiny, tiny, you know, tasting room. It's, you know, it, but compared to this
kind of
room,
I would call it a closet.
It's pretty much a closet.
But you know, Peter, basically the again, size how do you make the other half yummy num-nugs smell like sweet Chiba?
From Huxley, Bob.
I mean,
That's
Yo.
The best question of the day. I don't really know how to answer that.
They put Chiba. I'm going to take this as a water break.
And she wrote Chiba twice. Thank you.
Because it's that good.
And this one was named a Huxley Bomb. Is there a Huxley Bomb here? No. Come
Sounds
on.
Sounds like a real name.
My question about you know what you guys are doing is that, you know, 10 years ago you would go on a draft beer bar to get the new beers that the breweries were making. But now because of the license that Joe mentioned, you can actually go to the breweries and, one, get pints on premise like KCBC or Innerbar around the corner. But also your can release is huge. You know, what is that? I mean, we know it's on New York Times, but what is the thing that fueled the can release?
A lot of it's supply and demand. Like we were saying, like the amount that you do a 30-barrel batch, that's, you know, by the time you keg off a little bit so you have some growlers to sell, you're going to get 250 cases. If you do a case allotment, that's 250 people in line. If you have 800 people in line, then, you know, anybody after those 250 people, if they buy the allotment, they're boned. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of supply and demand of, like, you know, how early do you want to get there, you know, and then – you know, how much you want to spend, and also just, you know, how much fun do you want to have on a Saturday? Because people get there like 5 in the morning because they're crazy. I love you guys, but you're crazy.
Who's ever waiting in line at other half for
really,
for
really,
cans?
I really, really love you guys.
I appreciate everything.
I feel bad for you guys, but it's fun.
But no, I mean, you know, people get there early, and it kind of becomes a thing. You know, people meet up with their friends. People drive from out of town. You know, they do a bottle share while they're in line, which is illegal, and don't do that. But, you know, it becomes a social thing, and there's a lot of people that, you know, want to spend their money on something that they couldn't get otherwise. You know, they trade for beers and whatever, but it's something that is exclusive, and if you want to be able to do it, this is how you have to do it. And there's a lot of people that are willing to make, you know, whatever sacrifices to be able to have this experience. And, you know, the end goal is, you know, yeah, there's really good beer, but it's part of the overall experience. Yeah.
Well, there's another part of it that's also really important, which is that when you get beer in that way, you're getting better beer because it hasn't passed through a bunch of different hands, been tuned to a whole bunch of different temperatures, gone through a couple of weeks of delays, and lost its, you know, like, snap.
Yeah.
You're getting the beer the best that it can be, and then you get to control how that's taken care of from then on. So I really think that that's the way it's going to be going in the future. More beer is going to be sold that way. And breweries are going to be making the amount of beer that makes sense for them to sell that way because they don't want their beer to taste bad.
Quick thing for Kate and Mike, you guys are distributing, so it's different. You're distributing from Chicago.
Yeah, New York is our first market that we opened up to beyond Chicago. We were really, really excited to be here. We wanted to be in New York. Otherwise, in Chicago, we're a self-distributing brewery, so we load everything up into transit minivans. For a while, it was an Astro van with missing windows and trash bags taped on the windows in the polar vortex and all that stuff. Yeah. But in New York, we go through Serene. But yeah, this was the first place that we ever wanted to sell our beer beyond Chicago, and for us, it meant a lot.
To a similar point of getting it out fresh,
yeah,
it's kind of
the normal path is to go to geographically places that are close to you, but that didn't make any sense to us because we can drive the beer gets to New York in a day, and Serene's really good about getting it out to the accounts within a week. Wait, so if you're gonna
shout out
drop,
to Serene Beer Distributors, what'd
you say? Who?
Not Serene.
Who's here from Serene? Put your hands up. It's like half the room.
Oh, they're
who works
here.
For Serene?
What's up? Yeah.
Come on, boys.
Yeah.
But so it makes a lot more sense to drive it a day, get it out in a week to a place there's 8 million people living on, like, what I think is 2 square blocks, than it is to, like, bring it up to Wisconsin and drop it for people who don't really care about the new craft beer from Chicago, or drive to Indiana where there's, it's like, way, like, more disparate population. So it comes here and it gets drank fresher than it would if we went somewhere geographically closer. And we, the guys at Serene, treated the way we would treat it. So that's
and then, like,
huge for
us. Yo,
why do you hate Wisconsin so much?
Throw Wisconsin under the bus.
We don't hate Wisconsin. They have new Glarus. They don't care about it.
But,
who's from Wisconsin? Nobody.
Yeah, but if you come to Chicago and you come to Pipeworks, we just opened up like a bottle shop. It's actually kind of like a shack. It's like a small. It's not actually like four walls, but it's within our brewery, so you can buy directly from us, which has been interesting because for a long time we've just no one's ever been allowed in our brewery. I mean, so now we have people coming in and people can see how we work and listen to our horrible music.
And they're horrified. And they know
they're like, oh man, there's way too many cats here.
What are you guys doing in New York this week? Tell us a couple places we can find you besides the Well.
We're at the Well today. We'll be at Barcade on Tuesday. We will be at...
We'll be at Browery Lane on the 2nd with some other Chicago breweries.
We'll be at Barcade in Chelsea. We were just told to expand it. Then we'll be at Judy and Punch on Tuesday and Bondurant's on Saturday for like a brunch thing. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Welcome to New York, guys. And
thank you.
Thank you. Everybody, Pipeworks. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Woo. So Jesse over there. Jesse's my buddy. I knew him when Carton first started. He was the brewer there. And I'm so proud of what you guys are doing at Interboro. So big round of applause for Interboro because Jesse wants to say, I know this guy. I'm looking at his face. Jesse, he wants to say something. Or not.
That's not a question.
It, here's my question. So,
that's
Jesse.
Definitely not a question.
Let's talk about how great New York State is now for you guys and the new breweries. But you're also a distillery as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How does that apply?
If you like to
drink
alcohol other than beer, then you can come to my place, which is 4 blocks away, and drink gin and distilled and whiskey that's not quite whiskey yet, so it's more like moonshine.
Can we ever, will we ever get cans
draft
of gin?
Gin and tonic.
Will we ever get cans of gin to go?
Gin and tonic in cans.
To go?
This year.
Oh, that's going to be...
I'll never give a date.
I'll single blink on that. That's
going to happen. Is that legal, Jesse?
The TTB has actually approved my formula for my gin and tonic in cans.
Yeah.
And so when you go to the beach, for those of you who live in New York City and you all got your coats on, when you go to the beach, this is how I imagine it, right? You're like, I want to go to the beach. I want to drink something that's not going to like be beer, although I love beer. I'm going to have a gin and tonic in a can. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to
do
that.
So the future of craft beer is gin and cans, kids.
Yes.
Watch out.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All these guys got to catch up now. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like all these, you do.
Next question. So this is another supposed to be collaborations show, whatever. So Joe Grimm, every day you collaborate because you're working with your wife. So... is that a collaboration? Who's a better brewer? Anthony over here wants to know.
I think Lauren's the better brewer.
Joe, right? Be careful answering.
Don't worry, because no one else is ever going to hear the show. Don't worry.
Pass.
Yes. Smart man.
And Antonio also. There's three brewers. Yeah, there's Tony, Zach, and Pete.
That's right.
Every day it's a collaboration.
Yeah, I've got my two brewery wives. They're not here today. Brewery husbands. I don't know. Yeah. What, every day is a collaboration? Okay. Let me regroup. Kings County Brewers Collective. I mean, it's three of us. It's a clusterfuck trying to, you know, get the three of us sometimes to get stuff together. But, you know, we share in, you know, all the duties and recipe writing and beers we're making. And, we're always collaborating. You know, it's like we talk about what, you know, what's the hole that we need to fill next, you know, what beers are running out, what do we need next, who's got an idea,
what do you think it is? And usually it's, you know, it's kind of somebody will be like, yeah, I'll write a recipe for that. And they walk away and they, you know, throw something together and then be like, hey, what do you think of this? And you know, usually, you know, because we're all, you know, have opinions, kind of throw some ideas in like, hey, maybe you should up that or change that. And yeah, it's like nonstop collaboration. Yeah. And that's how our company started.
Tony, some of the audience wants to know, how do you become a brewery wife?
How do you become a brewery wife?
Bad question.
You just go into debt with some other people. Like, like Pete, Zach, and I, we're tied tighter than we are with our spouses as far as getting out of this thing.
Brewery husbands
I could divorce my wife quicker than I could divorce Pete and Zach. So, no.
But that's an open question for Kate. So, Kate, tell us about brewery husbands.
I mean, I wouldn't know personally. I just know it's an option.
So the beer we're drinking, I don't know about you guys, it's a plug for McKellar and Three's collaboration, Seeking Panache, IPL, which is what, Indian Pale Lager, guys, with Kefir Lime. I don't know if, what do you notice? There's some brewers up here that have drinking all the beers.
Was there a question?
And there's some that haven't. So, Mike, why are you not drinking all your beers, man?
I'm a little guy. I can't just pound all these beers, dude.
Oh.
Jesse, who's not drinking the beers down that end?
I don't know, man.
What about Joe?
Jesse's done. Like 7 beers
in front of you. I didn't realize this was a live power hour.
But brewery husbands and wives. And it's kind of wild, but does everyone have a chance to get a refill? I mean, who doesn't have beer? Should we take a break?
I've been beer.
No, I'm all right.
We'll do more questions, so keep going. Okay. So Jamie H. Who's Jamie H.? Is there a Jamie H.? Come on, guys. Break down double or triple dry hopping. This is like beer techniques.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, you guys double dry hop?
We only one time we did. We did a collaboration with a Toppling Goliath, and we did a double dry hopped double IPA, so that word was key. And it also had habanero and honey in it as well.
Wow. Anybody else?
All you do is dry hop.
I mean, you know,
I didn't know that was what it was called. That's like to me, it's like a new thing to call a thing a double dry hop beer.
I agree 100%.
It's words on paper.
Bo like, beer was always double dry hopped. Bo beer, we never single dry hopped. We always put half the hops in, and then the next day went back. All
really?
Half the hops again.
Why would like, you, I don't, why'd you guys do
you know
that?
I mean? Like,
why did you do that?
I don't know whether. It's utilization, right?
Well, Peter, what do you think? How do you define when you call something that? What does that mean to you?
So most of the stuff that we've been doing that we've been calling double dry hopped, for lack of air quotes, we'll actually take a recipe and then. Thank you. Yes, please. So we'll take a recipe that we normally do and we'll add another dry hop on top of that. And we've been playing around
doubling
a lot.
The quantity, not...
or is it done in stages?
Not specifically double the quantity or double the type. It's adding a secondary dry hop on top.
So, day 5 and day 7?
Well,
sorry.
let's do this in hours. Can you tell us how many hours it is between...
What's the schedule?
Well, so we'll usually do, you know, whenever we would normally do the first dry hop according to the original recipe, and then 24 or 48 hours later do the secondary dry hop.
Okay.
And we've been doing a lot of our double dry hop beers with the lupulin powder.
All right.
And so we've been mostly playing around with that as a secondary dry hop on top of a normal beer. So we'll do the normal dry hop schedule and then add X amount of this like lupulin powder, which is
like
kind of
dust.
It's like keef, basically, for lack of a better term.
It's dank,
but yeah, it's like, you know, super concentrated hop powder. And so we're adding that on top of a regular dry hop.
Okay.
So that's our kind of secondary dry hop.
So is it because you aren't sure what the outcome's going to be with the lupulin powder, or is it because you want to get the vegetal matter out? Like, this is an honest question.
Yeah,
like we've never done any of it. We've never used lupulin
powder. Never done
I mean, we kind of just started experimenting with this a few months ago. And, you know, part of it was to try to keep the vegetative flavors out of it. That was one of the more appealing things about it. And then we just really, really like how the flavors came out. You know, you get a lot of really bright hop characters that are very different from just the original beer with a relatively small amount of secondary dry hop.
Do you adjust the secondary dry hops based on how it's tasting at the time, or is it always you just go right down the line with the recipe?
We started off kind of like with, you know, X amount, and then we actually increased it a little bit because, you know, we figured we could get a little bit more out of it. and we were able to get a little bit more of the lupulin powder.
That's cool.
But yeah, the stuff's been pretty great. We're trying to experiment with a little bit more, but it's a very different product.
It's also like 2x as strong, right? Like
2.5 is what I've heard.
We haven't used it. We are using it in a couple of beers that are coming out next month. But we've never tried it before. But maybe that makes sense as a way to talk about double dry hopping, because if you're using the same number of pounds, it's doubling the hop oil.
Yeah, it's super concentrated. So it's pretty much twice the alpha, but half the vegetative matter removed. Right. So in theory, 11 pounds counts as 22 pounds. But flavor-wise, it's still a little bit different. So we're still trying to figure out how the flavor works in comparison to just regular hop pellets.
Sure. And it's... We haven't used that yet.
Peter and Joe, one last question, guys. We're going to run up to, guys, so how do we go from people talking about fresh hops, wet hops, to lupulin powder?
Those are separate things.
Give us a little
Does anybody up here like really enjoy fresh hops?
No. No.
We
made beers at Carton once a year where we got fresh hops, and they had really, I mean, you know, yeah, we would get like, I don't know, 88 or 100 and something pounds of fresh hops shipped from Yakima and hot wort from the kettle through a hot back, and those beers had a really... And then we would dry hop with whole cone instead of pellet. And was what we'd do for that beer. And
so
that beer was a very, like, what's that?
So you got about 2 gallons of beer at the end.
Yeah, in the end. But we're charging like $300 per sixtal. So, you know, you're like,
both people in line were psyched.
I mean, those beers had a very unique flavor. But I think that the hop dust is, you know, the lupulin powder is... It's interesting. It's very interesting. It's very... What?
Good question. How is a lupulin powder made? That's what I'm trying to say. What is lupulin powder?
It's an additional level of processing.
It's actually less... Okay.
It's like cryo.
I've just been in a wormhole of researching this stuff, because we've never used it, but we're going to use it soon. But, so from what I understand, it's actually less processed than a hot pellet, because a hot pellet beats up the whole cone... And like smashes it into pieces.
Yeah, grinding
process. It gets hot, and then it's pressed into pellets. Whereas the hop powder, they nitrogen freeze the thing, and then they shatter a frozen whole cone hop, which allows them to separate the frozen oil from the leaf. So you keep the oil and throw away the leaf. So it's like it never gets hot the way.
And with the way we used to describe hopping at Carton, which is this is coming from Augie Carton, but it's, you know, when you're putting hops in a kettle, it's cabbage, right? You're just putting green in, right? And only a certain percentage actually has anything that anybody wants or that tastes good. So being able to, you know, if this stuff works, it's isolating the part that actually tastes good and smells. I mean, more importantly, right? Like flavors 100%. Retronasal aroma, right? So that's what tastes good is what smells good. And so if you're putting what smells good into the beer and not the shit that tastes like cabbage or lettuce or whatever, then you're actually doing better for the beer. So it sort of remains to be seen whether it actually works.
There's also like only like four
varieties.
These guys
are doing
available.
A pretty good job of proving that it works.
Well, we're experimenting for everybody else.
The way that craft brewers have evolved and grown and innovated, maltsters are also innovating, and so there's new different forms of malt that we can all use. There's different roasting processes, and hops are the same way. I mean, it's not like a completely new age thing. I mean, it's just people trying to get better at their craft, and if their craft is growing and processing hops, and this is a more... a fresher way or a more authentic way to translate that flavor, like, we're going to research that and we're going to figure it out. It's not about, like, new age and new trends and blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of like, okay, well, maybe, you know, we're trying to make better beer. They're trying to make better hops, and we're trying to use the better hops and the better, you know, humulin and cohumulin and lupulin, yada, 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 all those oils, the most effective way possible.
Mike?
Oh, I was.
Is that your dad over there? Come on.
That's my dad right there. Front center. Hey, Dad, how's it going?
You guys have been awesome. I just want to say that I think that the well wants us to wrap it up, and you guys have to go buy more beers, so which is great. I'm you know, the Yummy Num Nug, and let's go through it one more time. What are the beers that we had? We had the other half Industrial Arts. Nummy Yum Yug.
Yummy Yug Nug.
What do you want me to
I'm
do?
Not going to correct
what
you.
What do we have, guys? Tony, what's the Casey Beast?
I've lost interest, man. This is like, you know, we're like, you know.
You guys, everybody needs a break. Stand up. Yeah. One more time. Say your names.
All right, I'm Tony Bellis from KCBC. You can go and drink Yeah Buddy, Woo! Double IPA. We made that with our buddies out of Finback. And you can drink Taco Wednesday. We brewed with Innerborough. We also got a sweet barrel-aged raspberry sour out there called Full Contact. Get at it.
I'm Jesse from Innerborough. You can go drink... Four blocks. You can drink Stay Gold. You can drink Super Local, and you can drink something else. I forgot.
Gin and tonic.
Yeah, gin. I'm Peter Salmon. I'm from Other Half. We got some beers on. I don't know. They're good. Go drink them.
You can get in line at 6 a.m. and.
I'm Sorry. Joe Grimm.
I have no idea what he's got.
From Grimm. I have no idea what's pouring, but after you
have
go to Jesse's
beer
place,
on, so.
You should go around the corner and look at the place with big glass windows.
Yeah, peek through the crack.
And, like, look
paper
through
and
there.
You can see his
you
floor.
You can see our train strains. It's going to be great.
Everybody! Woo!
Kate from Pipeworks. We have a bunch of beers. They're good.
I'm Mike from Pipeworks. If you guys want to buy some Southwest tickets to Chicago, they're pretty cheap right now. You're coming out of our brewery and seeing it. And, yeah.
And all your beers are really high alcohol.
Not anymore. Yeah. Sure. Come get them.
And everybody, thanks for coming out for real. And definitely, big shout out to Josh, Ian, and AJ at The Well, who've helped make this event happen. They booked everybody. This is an amazing panel, right? These guys are. And we're going to go to the bar and drink their beers. And thanks for joining me. Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We'll catch you next time. All right, guys. Woo! All right.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.